The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, in the very first chapter, talks about how a person is zocha, you know, he merits to have atonement. And the Rambam makes it very clear that there's two things that you need for atonement, right? First of all, you have to do tshuva. Tshuva is step one. You got to be sorry. You have to admit that you've done wrong. That's tshuva, and that's vidui. You have to be sorry, tshuva, and you have to say, you have to be, that's being sorry, that's regretting, and you have to say sorry, and that's vidui. But that's not enough, you know, because the Torah prescribed other things that it takes to repair the damage that you did. And when it's averos b'shogeg, you know, done unintentionally, so you have to, you know, bring the karbonis that one brings for his own intentional sins. Together with that, you have to do tshuva, and together with that, you have to do vidui, right? And when it's, you know, you did someone monetary damage, so you have to pay him and do tshuva and do vidui, right? And if you've done some, you know, capital punishment, so he deserves capital punishment, right? So you have to get that capital punishment. You need it for your atonement, but of course, atonement doesn't work, as the Rambam says. You got to get that punishment with tshuva, with being sorry, and with vidui, and with saying sorry at all, and together, you can get your atonement. Then the Rambam talks about the unbelievable atonement that there was with the Seir HaMishtaleach, right, with the scapegoat that was thrown to the Azazel. And then the Rambam starts, you know, talking, you know, and it seems from everything we would have learned, you know, that he's about to say something very, very depressing. And the Rambam says, I believe it's in Halacha Gimel, or Dalit, right, it says, Bizman Azeh, and Lamas Yosef, Lo Mizbech Kapar, Ein Shom Ela Tshuva. In this day and age, right, we don't have the Seir LaAzazel, we don't have any type of altar that could bring us atonement with the karbonis that we bring upon it. All that's left is tshuva, right? You know, it's, you know, that's, that already sounds like a depressing statement, and based on what we learned before in the earlier Rambams, yeah, we're in a bad situation because, you know, it took, you know, the karbon or the punishment, right, together with tshuva and vidui to get you kapara. Now we only have parts of the process. We're stuck, right? We're stuck, no? But that's how Ram ends off this statement. You say, oh, you know, we only have tshuva and at least tshuva something. That's how Ram ends off. The Ram ends off, you know, with just a polar opposite mood. Hatshuva mechaperes al kol averos of the Torah. Tshuva atones for all the averos of the Torah. You know, if you did all the sins of the Torah, tshuva alone can fix it. He doesn't even mention vidui. He doesn't even mention confessing. Just the regret in the heart alone can fix it all. And if you're a Russia all your life, you did tshuva at the end, it's all taken care of. Amazing. Right? Like, it doesn't just contradict the tone. It actually contradicts the information. Because before we see you need tshuva and vidui and the carbon or and the capital punishment, and with all that together you get your kapara, and I'm saying all we have left is tshuva, and tshuva does it all. And if tshuva does it all, so what do we need the carbon? What do we need the capital punishment? Like, why? Like, either way you look at it, if tshuva does it all, so why do we need the rest when there is a Beis HaMikdash? Right? And yeah, it's something which needs to be understood, right? So, the resolution, you know, the answer to this is a very interesting Yerushalmi in Makkos. We're going to explain the way the Maharal explains it in the Sivat Tshuva. The Yerushalmi in Makkos says that, you know, as a word, it was they speak metaphorically, that Shalu l'chachma chotim amshal, they asked wisdom, meaning the proverbial day, meaning there was an imaginary discussion between the Jewish people and the concept of wisdom. What should happen to a sinner? So wisdom answers, nefesh adash tirfo sora, right, the sinner should just be pursued by evil the rest of his life. That's what the concept of wisdom says ought to happen to the sinner, right? They asked prophecy, you know, and the prophecy answered, the concept of prophecy dictated, nefesh echol taz tamos, the soul of the sin. A sinning soul should die. Shalu la Tera Chote Manj, they asked the Torah, right, what should happen to the sinner? So the Torah answered, Yavi Asham Biz Kapar, let him bring a sin offering, let him bring a carpet, and he'll get kapar. We'll take that. Shalula Kadosh Baruch Hu, then they ask God himself, what should be with the chote? What should be with the sinner? And God himself answered, Yase Tshuva Vani Mekabel. I let him do tshuva and I'll receive him. God says, for me, tshuva is enough. And is God, as opposed to the Torah. The Torah didn't say that. The Torah said he has to bring a korban. And we know that, we learned from the Rambam that we quoted before, korban includes tshuva. So the Torah wants korban, but a korban, as the Rambam taught us earlier, knows tshuva, the korban will only work if it's with tshuva. But God alone says tshuva without the korban. Just tshuva, and I accept it. So that's, you know, something to think about. So the Maharal, right, goes through this Gemara in the Sivat Tshuva, and he explains it. Says, look, wisdom understands cause and effect. Logic, cause and effect, right? You do bad, you get bad, right? You do bad, you get bad, right? You know, whatever you do is what you deserve, right? So you did bad, you get bad. So that's why wisdom says the sinner should just have it bad for us in his life. That's why wisdom answers, he should suffer. He did bad, he gets bad. Okay, cause and effect, right? Prophecy, you know, prophecy is, you know, intimate connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you sin, you sever that connection. So from prophecy's perspective, you know, you did a heinous crime, because prophecy, you know, looks at man's connection with God. And the sin makes, cuts that connection. Oh, so you cut that connection, you should be cut off. You cut the connection, you get cut, right? You cut your connection with God, so you should get cut off, and that's why, you know, prophecy decrees death on the sinner. The Torah says, let him bring a korban, right? Let him bring a sacrifice, and he'll be atoned for. So the Maharal explains, because Torah is what fixes the whole world. Torah is fixing conscience. That just like the whole world was created by the Torah is the manufacturer of the world. You know, when something's broken, send it back to the manufacturer. He'll fix it. If he can make it, he can fix it. So Torah, you know, takes a how can we fix attitude. How can we fix? So, and the Torah prescribes all different penalties that the Torah prescribed, and therefore the purpose of fixing. Right, so the tool over there to fix the sin is the korban asham. But of course, the Torah didn't, when it answered the question, it just gave asham as an example that we have prescribed, you know, tools to fix the problem with, and that's the nature of the korbanos, and that's the nature of the punishments that the Torah issues. Also, these are the tools to fix the damage that was done by the sin. But that's the Torah is still thinking fixing. But then you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a whole different perspective even than the Torah itself. The Torah is there to fix, right? But God says, look, the whole world belongs to me because I made it all. So that means that the whole world is connected to me not by virtue of its merit, right? Because, you know, we're talking about a sinner that doesn't have the merit to be connected to God. But it's still connected to me because I'm the creator, and he's my creation. I made him. You know, his existence comes from me. So just let him regret what he did, and I take him back immediately. But that's a special relationship that God has directly with his creations, because he's the creator, and they're the creations. It's a special relationship, special that only God has that relationship with creation, because only God is the creator of creation. So it's still my creation. So it's never impossible to come back, because there still remains this relationship of creator and creation that's always, that relationship is an immutable truth. It's always true. I'm the creator, he's my creation. So because there's always that relationship, let him just come home and I'll take him. And there's always something to come back to, because there's always that relationship of creator and creation. Right? Torah was just the blueprint of reality, but God is the creator. God is the creator. And there's a creator-creation relationship that's inseparable. And any time a person wants to come back, he can come back. Right? So God has a certain relationship with reality. It's even beyond the Torah. Right? The Torah is the proper way to go. It's the normal channel to go. And if you go with the Torah, it's called that you are virtuous and you merit. Right? But God has a special relationship with the universe that's even above the Torah. right, that look, even if people don't merit and they're not making use of the Torah, they're not using this wonderful tool called the Torah to merit to come to me and to come to me in a proper, through the proper channel, but still, I'm the creator of creation, it can come back to me anyway. Right? This is the secret of what the Gemara says in Yuma. Gedola tshuva shedocha lo sefer Torah. Torah tshuva is so great, it even pushes off a negative commandment in the Torah. And the Gemara says, in Yuma, what's that negative commandment? Machzir grushasa. Torah outlawed remarrying a wife that you divorced after she married someone else. A man divorces his wife and she marries someone else. And she either gets divorced from him or he drops dead. She can't go back to her first husband. That's a law in the Torah. Right? And so also, the Gemara explains, Rashi explains further, right? The Jewish people are married to God. When we sin, it's called that we're seeking a new husband. Right? Right? Or actually going in proper order. We're married to God. Right? We sinned. So he threw us into exile. That's the equivalent of divorce, and we discussed this at length in our Agada Tayomi series. Relationship between being in Golis and divorce. So that's like divorce, right? And then even when we are in Golis, we continue to sin. And we serve, God forbid, idols. That's like seeking a new husband. And then now all of a sudden we want to come back to God. So in a parallel model in the halachic system, there's no way back. A man cannot remarry his divorced wife that married someone else in the interim. And we were divorced by God, i.e. thrown into Gauls. And in Gauls, we served Avodah Zarah. We took like a new God for ourselves. And still, if we do tshuva, God takes us back. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says in Mar. The tshuva overrules the negative commandment of Machzir Grushasa. Right? So that shows that tshuva comes from a higher order that bypasses halacha. Right? And this is what the Rambam is saying. An unbelievable kindness that God did. And the Rambam wrote it, that you should understand, it's an unbelievable kindness that God did. That really what he's talking about earlier in Hilchos Tshuva is the proper halachic order of making amends for what we've done wrong. And you're making amends. You're not just saying you're sorry. You're making amends. You're fixing it. You're bringing your carbon and you'll take your punishment, or you'll pay whatever money you have to pay for the damages that you did. Right? You're making amends. What the Rambam's writing about Hilchos Tshuva is the proper way to do tshuva within the framework of halacha, within the framework of halacha, which has the amazing advantage that's called that you're not just saying sorry, you're making amends, you're fixing what you did wrong. It is a higher virtue, it is, right? But then that system collapses because our sins made it so bad that we can't even perform all what the Torah prescribes to make amends because the temple was destroyed. You can't bring karbonis anymore, right? So now the system, collapsed. And when we can't even make amends properly, even if we wanted to. Oh no, what's going to be? So what does God says? Okay, you're stuck. The higher order of tshuva is going to click in. That's the amazing kindness that God did. You're stuck and you don't have a way within the system of halacha to fix what you did wrong. So the higher form of tshuva that comes directly from God, and bypass halacha kicks in. That's what the Rambam starts saying on a note that sounds depressing, and he meant it for me depressing. So you should know in this day and age, we don't have the Sira Mishtalech, we don't have any Mizbeach Kapara. All that's left is tshuva. But since that's all that left, Atshuva Mechaperes Kol Meshatar. Tshuva fixes everything. So of course, when we have the ability to make amends with the order of halacha, we have to go that way, right? So that's why even though tshuva could do it all, we don't rely on tshuva because we want to be virtuous and work with the halacha and really fix what we did wrong. So that's why when we do have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't only do tshuva, we bring the carbon, and we take the punishment if need be, right? Because we want to make amends, and that's better for us also. That's a higher virtue for us that we actually try to fix what we did wrong. But when that is impossible, God doesn't say, all right, so you're stuck. God lets the higher order of tshuva that comes directly from Him, even beyond the Torah, kick in. And then even just being sorry, even if you don't even say the vina, just being sorry, I want to come back, God accepts it. So the tremendous chas of Hashem is that when you're stuck, He saves you from even a higher order that's above the order of the Torah.